I'm going to go through, today is talk about how do you handle tribulations. The reason why I did the last sermon on strongholds in 2 Samuel 5:10, because understanding how to get through strongholds when you come to tribulations, some parallel here. I'll cover it there at the end, you know, but it's a parallel between having some strongholds. A lot of times those strongholds will cause tribulation, so you understand they're kind of tied close together. So it's real important to understand that. And I'm going to get my principle today. If you want to look at the scripture, Psalms chapter 16, a few verses here that we're going to look at and kind of tear apart and see what the Lord has. It's interesting about the Word of God, as it's true, unbelievably true. It's real, it's applicable, and many times what happens in your Christian life, probably, that happened to me, is you have these things happen, and then you find out, wow, it's right there, scripture. Because it's all truth. It's man, that's exactly how that works, whether you knew it or not. So it's an amazing thing. So looking at Psalms 16, verses 5 to 11, I'm going to read them here, and then, Proverbs, wrong book. Psalm 16, verses number 5. Here we go. It says, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless thee, Lord, who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. And my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and thy right hand there is pleasure forevermore." Now there's a great psalm, and I'm going to tear this apart a little bit. And what we have here is, you know, first of all, in anything, if you look at scripture, there's obviously the doctrinal, historical, and inspirational, especially on the Old Testament here. So just to give you a little background, I'm going to cover the inspirational day, but you got to understand, if you understand the historical and you understand the doctrinal, you can then apply to the inspirational. Doctrinally, the psalm here breaks down to Jews in tribulation period, the Jews crying out that God delivered him in time past, and the Jews in millennial. That's a doctrinal thing. And Petra's good at that because that's what when God looks at things. And it's interesting how, think about it, we're going through our things now. In the next stage of tribulation, they'll be looking at that from a practical standpoint. It's amazing how the book is alive. Historically, the book of Psalm here, David, is about his life in areas. David, when he goes through his trials and tribulations. David, when God delivered him from his trials and tribulations. And David, now, when he had the victory, he's praising the Lord's victory that God has given him. So that's kind of the historical thing. Obviously, he had all those trials. We see the trials of Jews in the future. And then, inspirationally, is for us and you and me today. I want to break that down and show you how we can use these truths found in God's Word to help you if you have tribulation. Here lies a great teaching in Psalm 16. I think it's great. When you go through the tough times, you have personal tribulation, periods in your life, people generally use the Psalms. Psalms are known for what? The inspiration, right? People always quote the Psalms. It's inspirational. It applies to us. This is why many people have this. The book of Psalm is kind of a kind of used for comfort. David and Jews, they wrote these things as they were going through trials. It's a prophetic thing for them in the future, but it's for us today in the church age. Now, three things you got to get from here, these verses in Psalms. Number one, God's people will have some trials and tribulations in their lives. Many of you have come through some of these trials, and some of you may be in there now. So you'll see how these verses and these truths can help you out. Two, next thing you'll see that when God delivers us, there's always a deliverance for whatever issues you have. And I want to focus on that today because you not only can help yourself out, but you help others. The whole idea of being a minister, you know, we're all ministers, is when someone has a trouble, what are we going to tell them? Oh, good luck. And no. You got to try to open the scripture. I'll show you what verse you go to and give them truth from God's word so God can use it. He's glorified. And a third thing is what happens when we get the victory. Well, when you get the victory through a lot of troubles, when you're in trials, what happens? You grow. You know, your confidence in God's word increases. Your walk with the Lord gets closer. All those things happen is when you go through these things. So that's that kind of what's going to happen here. Now, first thing you want to make point is, the devil wants to devour you. You got to get that. I mean, you understand, it's really, we wage war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness and high. It's really a battle. People don't realize that. And we saw how the devil wanted to operate in the Old Testament. It wanted to, kill God's people, the Jews, literally, eat them up alive, so to speak, swallow them up, sacrifice them, and literally, they'll be eaten in the future. You understand the doctrine behind that, too. So in the future, they're going to physically, literally be eaten. Now, where's the point? I want to show you that, inspirationally for you and me, the devil wants to have us people literally be devoured. Look at 1 Peter 5:8, to you and I, the church, speaking in that context. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. 2 Corinthians 4:4a, in whom the God of this world had blinded the mind of them that believe not. Now, obviously, I've never had an encounter with the devil, but the system and its principles we battle every day. You obviously understand that, you know. So, you're trying to they try to destroy the Jews literally and devour them in the Old Testament physically, and now God's trying to devour his people, us, spiritually, New Testament. A lot of times it's physical in the old, and we're spiritual here. And he wants to swallow us up alive. So whereas he ate and destroyed the people in the Testament, the Jews, in New Testament, he wants to devour you. It's really the Old Testament and the tribulation is really going to be a tough time for the Jews. Think about that. If we look at this thing doctrinally, sure you have David went through his trouble, but it's going to be great troubles for his people, Israel. And he wants to destroy us spiritually. In both cases, physically, they're dead. And in our place, he wants to defies and destroy us spiritually consumed. So you got to get that principle. So you're always fighting against those things here. So it's really, you know, a spiritual attack. Remember last time I spoke about, recap on strongholds found in 2 Samuel chapter 5, 1 to 10? Remember the story of David taking Jerusalem from the Philistines? A stronghold is when the world gets a stronghold of your life. What happened in 2 Samuel 5 is a story of the physical city, Jerusalem. The nation of Israel can't do nothing for God without Jerusalem because that's where the temple was, and that's the center of everything God did Israel. So it's a physical city there. It's where the ark is going to be, and Jerusalem was Israel's future. Now, speaking of us, because it ties together here, inspirational New Testament, your body and temple today is kind of the stronghold. And devil has a stronghold against your temple, your body, your life, right? He's trying to destroy that thing. You can't do nothing. God's people can get caught up in this world of flesh, and it can be a destruction thing. So obviously, the strongholds back then, physically, look how God dealt with them there. And now we need to look at those from a kind of a spiritual standpoint. Now, let's look at this strongholds and patterns and look at these scriptures here. They tell us, you know, and those of you who have children or grandchildren, when your kids get 5, 6, 7 years old, they've already got a lot of their principles already established in character going on in their lives. It's an amazing thing how quick they get that. My little 2.5-year-old granddaughter, she knows Spanish already. I don't know Spanish. I mean, see, they're sponges. I mean, understand that. I mean, see, those of you that got grandkids, when you raise your kids, you didn't think about it. But now that you went through that, they're like, wow, I didn't realize how fast they absorb these things. It's an amazing thing how fast this happens. So they're absorbing everything, and they see and understand by 5, 6, 7, there's already patterns already built in their life. The wrong patterns and wrong thinking will always lead to wrong actions. You see that? I mean, today, it's a tough thing. All these iPhones and computers and devices, right? It's bombarding. And that's why, here's the city of Canaan. A lot of things were contained in the city of Canaan, in the city. But through technology, that's going out to the suburbs and further because technology and stuff, right? And all these crazy things are happening out in the city, out in the suburb now because they have technology that they're getting back in the city. It's a really amazing thing. So, you got to understand that getting patterns early on for your kids or your grandkids will help you out. Now, let's start applying these principles here found in Psalms 16:5-11. There are 7 principles I'm going to go through found in this psalm, and not only that can minister to you, but could help you minister to other people, okay? So let's start with number one. Principle 1, getting your focus back. Remembering your inheritance, your cup, your lot. That's your blessings. Psalm 16:5, we read this verse again here. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. This is where you start right here. So look at where God starts here. When you want to get right with God or stay right with God, you don't get right in God because of some kind of mechanics. You get right or stay right because what God has convicted you with your heart or spirit. You see, it's a spiritual thing. There's no mechanical thing. You have to understand this principle here. It says here, the Lord is my portion of my inheritance. You have to go back as a believer what the Lord did for you. I mean, go back to the very beginning and look at how they introduced this first verse. It's a great a pattern. When you start to go back at these strongholds, you put these things here, you must stop and think of your inheritance because you've forgotten that. The Lord's given us an inheritance. If you've saved this morning, you are the richest person in the planet. You understand that? You've got to get that. We have a pretty party, we get these little patterns. If you're saved today, you're the richest person on the planet. You have everything that through God and Christ at your disposal. You know that? I heard of a little example here of a man. He was a miser. And he wanted his kids to get any money. He was saving and saving and saving. And what he did, he stocked all his money in his walls. And he put it in, buried it in the basements. And he buried it in his backyard. You know what happened? He got Alzheimer's and dementia. And he forgot what he did with his stuff. And he kind of died, in poverty. That's what God's people do. You see that? They forgot about, they got a spiritual dementia and spiritual Alzheimer's, and they forgot about what God did for them, their inheritance. See that there, Kind of same thing there, it's a sad thing. I was watching a little thing on, I opened my internet up, Peyton Manning. He's a quarterback. I don't follow football that much, but he's old football. And they're interviewing him. I mean, there's a guy that's probably has some fame and some fortune, but he's a lost dude. He's talking about Bud Light. I mean, and he's talking about his 3 girls. He's got, here's an example. He's got about young girls. He got, I think, they're like 8, 10, and 12. I don't know. They're younger kids. And he's telling about how his kids' phone blew up because when they found out Taylor Swift, I think it is, got engaged. That was consuming their minds. I mean, if you're a parent and that's what your kids are concerned about, blowing your phone up that Taylor Swift got engaged, are you kidding me? I mean, you see how opposite, I mean, what? I don't give a rat's behind some language, but what the engagement, I mean, you understand that? That's the big thing going on in her life. Sky, I mean, see the inheritance that we have, how important it is, what they think is important and popular and important. Oh, can you get us, go to the wedding, you're a football player, talk to whatever, whoever is married to a football player, and like, goodness, man, if that's what you're thinking about life, they're messed up. Those are your messed up kids. Now think about it. I'm showing you the difference between understanding, you know, what the world has to offer and we have to have. Look at Romans 8:17 says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, we shall be also glorified together. Revelation 3:11, behold, I stand, I come quickly. Behold, behold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Second John 8 says, look to yourselves that you lose not those things which ye have bought, but that ye have received a full reward. Get that? So this is obviously something here that we want to do is get that full reward. We are the richest people in the world because the inheritance of our Father he has given us. Look what it says here. It says, yet we lose that sight. We lose focus. So it says here, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. You can never forget that. We're children of the King. We have an inheritance. If you lose sight of that, you lose sight of your focus. That's why it's very important. God put in the very beginning of the psalm. You actually think the sloppiest world, like the world does, compared to our that happens to us. I mean, the slop of this world or what God has for us. God's people don't want to happen to you. Now, interesting about last Sunday morning, Pastor Hoffman quoted this verse. He goes, what do I want for my people? Remember he quoted, remember last Sunday, remember paying attention? He quoted here Galatians 6:4, and it's tied right in this very beginning of the psalm. It says, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. You see, between that understanding from the words of God, you're proving yourself out, and then you get a full reward. That's obviously the goal of the believer. And a pastor wants someone to check it out yourself. Don't just have a parrot theology. Make these truths your own heart. Apply them and get a full reward. That's kind of this is all kind of basic, but sometimes we lose sight of that and we get in a pity party or have trials or tribulation I'm getting to, and we forget about that. You gotta keep things the same thing. Now, notice the second part of this verse, first verse. It says, end of my cup. Now, the cup will represent all that God has for in your life. It is the blessing of God found in the cup. Psalm 23:5 says, real popular psalm, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. See, there's an inheritance, and God gives you a cup. And there are three things here. First of all, God prepares us here in the presence of our enemies. That's your fellowship you have with God no matter what happens. The fellowship you have with the Lord, especially when you're alone, reading the Word, that's important to have that. It doesn't matter who likes you, who doesn't like you, what you're doing. That won't change your fellowship you have with the Lord. The second thing here is that it says about anointing your head with oil. Well, that's obviously Old Testament, the head is oil. What's the oil today? The Holy Spirit. It's that fellowship with God. It's the Holy Spirit of God. And third, it says, my cup runneth over. That's the blessing God has in our lives as Christians. The blessings just overflow because you're anointed with the Holy Spirit of God, and you have fellowship with the God, and you're following His Word. You know, Dr. Ruckman has a book out, he wrote out near the end of his life called, My Full Cup. I've ever read it. He had a sermon on it. And what he did is, at the end, what's interesting is, What happens at the end of your life? I think people have what they call it a swan song, like Timothy. What after all your life, give me the bottom line. And what he said, I got a full cup. God worked through all these troubles and all the blessings. And what it is, my cup is full. So there's a guy that had troubles and he had blessings, but he says his cup was full. Very interesting testimony, you know, spiritually. So that's what we're looking for, you know, not where you've been. I mean, I got clients that travel all over. I'm like, well, that's fine and dandy, but like, you know, what spiritual legacy are you gonna bring? I cover that a little later. So it's important to understand that. I guess you know there's also two cups in the Bible. There's the Lord's cup and there's the devil's cup. Many times we start messing with the wrong cup. Got to get back to the Lord's cup. Got that? So you got that inheritance. First thing, hey, how about your inheritance? How about the cup God has for you? And the same verse, you mentioned this other word. He says, thou maintainest my lot. So you got an inheritance, you got a cup, and you got a lot. The lot will be what God will give you. We say, this is my lot in life. You ever heard that? I want to notice, it doesn't say I'll give you, but he says maintains your lot. Very important you get that. You can't miss it. Here's what I say. It's about terror. If you're doing what's right for God, he'll give you a lot. Get that? No, take it that way anyway. Spiritually. But I mean, do what's right with God, he'll give you a lot. So it's that inheritance, it's that cup. It's a lot. The very first part of this verse, God goes back to remind you, believer, what you have, the blessings. So you don't get focused on the world and the things of the devil. So the very first thing here, the first principle, you got to get back to that thing, understanding that foundation. Now, let's look at, I want to do four today. We're not going to get to four today, probably. Second principle, number two. Look at Psalm 16, 6. It says, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Now God's moving here next verse here. Look here, the lines here are the principles of your King James Bible right here, doctrine, that you have to put into your life and guide you out of these strongholds that have gotten a place. And the best verses for that is found in Isaiah chapter 28. Let me find that. Isaiah chapter 28. 28 verses 9 to 13. Let's talk about these lines. It says here, whom shall we teach knowledge? And whom shall we make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will ye teach to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they may go and fall backward to broken and snared and taken. So this is the line that they're talking about here in the Bible. It's about principle and doctrines here from the Word of God. It says that he's talking a little about building blocks. And you know what though? It's a little at a time, a little bit at a time, a little doctrine here, a little teaching here. You should add this down into your life, but if your family's life, you build your family on these type of things. The context here obviously could be a building, but what the Bible doctrine does when you build your wall life spiritually. You have spiritual building blocks from the Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept. And these walls you build, they're solid walls. Now, Omar's in the building business. If you build a brick, you don't build it straight up. You kind of interlock them, make them stronger. See how that is, you know? I mean, the picture of that would be, there's a lot of religious groups, they have some truth. They build their bricks straight up. What happens? Easy knockdown, right? You know, I'm like, look at the hyper-dispensationalists. They got some truth, but they're so focused on one area, it's easy to push down. You interlock those building blocks, you know, precept upon precept, line upon line. That makes them real, real strong. Biblical principles will always tie into one another biblical principles. That's what I'm saying here. There's a saying, here a little, there a little. You keep adding as you grow. That's what the lines are here. Lines from the Word of God, principles, doctrines. God wants you, that's a strong believer. Sometimes, you know, you're very shallow believers. They fall easily because they haven't built a big, strong work yet. Now, look at this spiritually in the Old Testament. We had cities, had walls. And when the example is when Ezra and Nehemiah, when they went to captivity for 70 years, what happened to Jerusalem? Out comes Babylon's against them. And you know what, though? Those walls, I understand, were 50 feet tall, and they were 50 feet tall, and they were 20 feet wide. And they never breached the walls. They starved them out. No, they couldn't get through the walls. Once they starved them out, they came in, and obviously then they tore them down. But you see, they had that principle physically was solid, big walls. I think they had 32 guardhouses around them, whatever you know, watchtowers around them. They call them watchtowers because they were watching, and they had solid walls. Physically, it's good, but spiritually, for us, it's building good doctrine, principles from the King James Bible, understanding them. That's what it says about building up over here. Real, real important. It says in 1 Corinthians, for other foundation can no man lay, which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So it's the Word of God, Jesus Christ, and His Word. We're building line upon line upon line. And the very next thing you do when Nehemiah and Ezra went back to the city, notice that Ezra kind of went back and got the temple going. Well, our temple obviously is when we got saved, but you know what though? Then they built walls up. That's why it's good to have being saved and get some doctrine. I'm discipling a guy now, Ephraim. We've been praying for him before. Mrs. Hoffman actually led him to the Lord at a Riverwalk about 2 years ago. About a year ago. He was out a year ago, but she was talking to him, followed up, and he got saved in March. So I've been discipling him there yesterday. And it's just good to see him getting enlightened. I'm giving a book by Dr. Walker on basic Bible doctrine, and he's eating it up. And already his friends, like, he could see that his friends are already kind of fading away, and the so-called friends and things, and the Lord's answered some prayer, you know, the Lord's answering prayer in his life. He was looking for a job, got two jobs, two real good jobs. I mean, pick one out. I mean, he's a nurse. I mean, he's got a nurse at a school, and they can work here. I mean, and the Lord's just working on him. He's all excited. His little hair is down. And that's building blocks of those walls we're trying to build up. Get them when you're young. Build those walls when you're young, you know? You know, the real question is, how high and how thick are your walls? How high in wall are our walls that we're trying to help people out? You can do better to see how the devil can climb over those walls if they're not built real strong. Like young people, what their walls are, their chain link fence. Not real good sturdy, right, you know? So you got to make sure to build good spiritual walls. And then it says here, and the last thing I'll make here, it says, and I have a goodly heritage. In Scripture, the sainted people of God are called His heritage. So here we have here, next verse here tells you about getting good doctrine, build good walls, and now it says here, have a good heritage. In 1 Peter 5:1-3 says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind, neither as being lords over God's inheritance, but being examples to the flock. So there's a legacy, a heritage that we got to have. Hey, you know what though? No man liveth or dieth himself. Amen? So you know what? Yeah, you know what? I'll slack off. People watching you, especially if you got kids and grandkids. I mean, what heritage are you going to leave? You know, you pass away, what heritage happens? Generally, the second generation, you're done. Right? So you want to build a good, solid heritage. So God wants you to remind that in the very beginning when you go in the trial. Hey, listen, man, look where you came from. Look at your cup. Look at all that. Look at good doctrine. And then they have a heritage, something to build behind. People do asset planning, everything, you know, and they leave some things behind physically. That's fine. What kind of spiritual legacy are you going to leave, you know? I mean, the real sad thing is, you know, one of my friend of mine passed away. My dad was remarried, and she had some grandkids, and I went to one of his funeral. He died young, and it was really sad. The best thing they could say about him, he's like going to Las Vegas. Now, don't take it personally, but if that's the best thing to say about you, man, that's not a good thing. I mean, yeah, he liked to go to Las Vegas and go in there and having the meals, seeing shows. If that's all you can say about somebody's life, man, that's a bad deal. So, you want to have this heritage, and God puts it very early on in the second scripture here, of this verse here, so you can remind that. Hey, listen to me. Remind that thing, okay? I don't have time to go to number three. There's actually a total of seven principles. I was going to touch on it here because I want to finish up next week when I go, but I'm just going to touch halfway through, which is my next time. Not only it says here that Psalm 16:7, I will bless the Lord who had given me counsel, my reins also instruct me in night seasons. Now we're getting out right now into the application of how to handle trials. Read that again. Only the counsel of God gives you and will stand through biblical patterns here in times of trouble. The word that first stands out here is the word counsel. Now, if you look at counsel in the Bible, it's generally a negative thing. I mean, generally, like they put counsel against the Lord. When you get a counsel together, generally not a good thing. So, but look at the verse over here, and that's biblical, because in Psalm 1:1 it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Getting bad or wrong counsel in your life will always lead to problems. Amen? You ever got some bad counsel, bad advice, even amongst believers? It's that simple. You got to ask yourself, whatever your struggle, whatever problem you're having, where are you getting your counsel from? Hey, in my business, I can't tell you some of the harebrained ideas people told me. I mean, I shake my head. Remember some old guy watching Honeymooners? Remember Honeymooners? You know, he always had the harebrained ideas. I mean, another idea, his wife is like, that's a harebrained idea. Yeah, it's going to work. You know, I mean, it's kind of comical. But in real life, people get harebrained ideas. I give you one example. I had a client going through, she was a single, she was widowed, and she was going through a nursing home, and a nurse told her, I mean, don't give her a nurse, don't take it personally, goes, oh yeah, sell everything you have and buy a big, this is back 20 years ago, $800,000 house, because they can't take your home. And so when you go to a nursing home, they can't take your home. Well, that's kind of true, but you got to maintain $800,000 house, the cost, expenses, the insurance, and then guess what? According to Illinois, we're called tax recovery act. They're leaning anyways, but that's just bad. See, that was just bad. I'm like, don't, you know, I'm bad at trading around, but that's just bad advice. You're getting counsel from a very person not in that type of thing, you know. So that's happened probably to you. Maybe it's a small thing about some warranties you bought you should not had. But you know what though? In the bigger matters, make sure that people give you counsel from the Word of God. Even Christians, if you tell them your problem, time will give you some idea that has nothing to do with the Bible. The only thing that will stand will be the counsel that God gives you in His Word. And I'll give you, I'll close this verse here. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. So I'll stop right there, and I'll finish this last part here on principle three, which got some interesting things coming up, and then we'll cover the rest next week. Okay? Any questions? Anything? Okay. Father in heaven, just look, if we look at this Word of God and we see how we just look at each part of the scripture with how practical things are, especially for us right here in the page of scripture. You got to believe them and apply them, and it's really that simple. It really is. It's not difficult. You didn't make things hard for us. You got to seek them out and believe them. We thank you, Father, for this time. Look forward to folks coming in for church, that be at the pastor, get him here safely, and that you give what he needs to say and what we need to hear, Father, and work in our hearts and minds, and we give you the praise, the honor, glory. In Jesus' name, amen.